Hello out there. Welcome today to our podcast. This is Eric Johnson.
This is Aaron Thigpen. Welcome to The Brand and the Source.
That's what we are, The Brand and the Source. Eric Johnson and Eric Thigpen again, Eric Thigpen. Anyway, back at, here I am talking again. It's been a long day already, Aaron. But
say that five times fast.
I know. Can you do that, man?
That's no, I can't, and it's my name.
Aaron Thigpen, there we go. I love it. Hey, Aaron, the subject today is interesting because we've gone through this next Omicron phase of COVID, right? So our subject we're going to talk about is what has COVID done to the recruiting process now that Omicron is attacking us now again out there in public? You know, what does it look like again? What's the recruiting process look like?
There's a lot. There's a domino effect, I think, in essence, with COVID now, because we're not going into we're past year one. What are we going into, year two and a half?
Yeah,
something like that, or is it three? I mean, it seems like it's been around a while now. I can't even remember. There's been a lasting effect, almost, I think, a backup in some instances of recruiting and getting bodies on campus and evaluating talent. And I think a lot of things that, you know, the athletes now have to consider when they're trying to position themselves for the schools that they want to go to.
You know, Aaron, there's this thing in recruiting called the transfer portal. And it's always been there in the NCAA. Now it is a heavily used way of coaches getting players to their university. And because of COVID, the rules of the transfer portal now states that you could just transfer just like that. Before, yeah, you would have to get like a written letter, signed off, go through the NCAA. It's a whole bunch of red tape.
It's a lot more time, exactly. A lot
it
more red
took
tape.
A long time, and you were going to sit out a year, period. Yeah. Now, with COVID and the expansion of rosters in these sports and the ability to have no more minimums. That means like it used to be 25%, that was the minimum. Now it's down to where it was when you and I were going to school. You're gonna have a 1% scholarship or a 99% scholarship. And you know, guys could give players books and tuition, or these give them books or whatever, and they can bring them on campus and be part of that 40-man roster. And next thing you know, maybe it doesn't work out the first quarter, the first semester. The coaches can say, hey, keep your books for the year. It's all right. You lost your roster spot. Hey, it's January. I can bring in another guy from the portal, and he's fitting academically, and he's got what I need. Bring him on campus.
Yeah.
It's crazy now. It's what do you usually say, Aaron? The wild, wild west.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I looked at, you know, the change in the transfer portal actually being something empowering for athletes. But the flip side to that now is that, you know, just like people hoarding toilet paper during COVID, coaches can hoard talent, you know? And you know, they can stockpile, I won't say hoard, but they can stockpile talent. And, you know, at any point, you know, there's no huge commitment. You know, like you said, they can give somebody a 1%, you know, just to get them on campus and keep them online until something better comes along, or maybe if circumstances change and now that athlete is out. And so now that athlete has to go back into the portal and find someone else again. So, you know, it could be this whole, God, what's the game we used to play when you were a kid? And they play the music and you walk around the chairs, musical chairs.
Musical chairs, man.
Yeah. You know,
right.
So what does an athlete do to either anticipate those sorts of things or insulate themselves from that, or just really understand where they may be vulnerable and how do they position themselves accordingly? You know, we talked just briefly about, you know, your concern with those athletes who are going, the 2023s.
Right, I am.
And you know, I'd like for people to hear your take on that, because where they sit right now, because if you think about it, if we're 2 years in or going, you know,
right.
2 years in to COVID, well, there's a backlog of athletes. And I know you articulated really well about, you know, that shift that's going to junior college that may be bumping other athletes. In other words, there's this whole kind of, there's this shell game of athletes moving around, but just because one athlete moves to another spot doesn't necessarily mean that's an open spot. That might mean bumping someone else. And so I think athletes need to realize where they are on the pecking order and the selection process, and maybe start to have some plan B's and plan C's.
Yeah.
Or understand that the process might take longer than what they expect. It's not going to be as simple as, hey, I'm going to find a school, I'm going to stay there, and we're going to hold hands and walk off into the sunset.
Right, right. Definitely the process is different than it was 2 years ago. I look at our athletes that left out of here in 2020 and they went to school in the fall. That's the 2020 guys, right? They went to school in the fall and they, bam, COVID. Nothing happened. They didn't even have a year to really play. Some of them played 4 games, some played 12, some didn't play at all. So we're talking about that graduating class in high school of 2020 went to campus in that fall of 2020, and they didn't play the whole year. So now it's like, okay, 2021s, what's going to happen to them?
Right.
Guess what? They're the guys that went to JC because they didn't have a place to go, because the transfer portal started to get full.
Yeah.
So you got JC guys who went to JC thinking, hey, I'm going to go there and play. It's probably a better opportunity for me to get some reps, to get be able to play. What happened is some of those guys were in Division 2, 3, and 1 guys said, hey, we're going back to JC.
Yeah.
We're going back, and we don't have a spot here. We tried to transfer to another school, but I'm going back to JC for a year. Now, it got backed up. Now, we're talking those 2021s. What about the 2022s now that are looking for a place to go play, and they were committed, and maybe they got decommitted. Now they go back to JC. What does that JC roster look like now? What does that Division II or Division III roster look like now? And it's hard because academics fuel all this stuff, number one. And number two, there's only so many roster spots on a team. If you go backwards, go to Division II or Division III, it's not like they have 40 spots. Mm-hmm. They only have so much money and so much they can give to you. And usually there's some academic aid that has to work there. So the portal is all backwards right now, and athletes don't have a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. They're just going there hoping that, hey, I got a spot, I can play, they like me, I got some money, I'm good.
Right.
Are you really good or are you really not good? Do you really understand the dynamic of what is really happening? Does that school really like you? Are they invested in you that much? Or are you just out there just hoping they like you? And I'm really concerned about the 2023 class now, because I heard from several sources that the portal could be jammed up another year. Now, what's that do with the 2023 grade class that's coming in on a very important recruiting period of where they're trying to acquire athletic scholarship money right now, between now and the end of their high school season, before they get in the summer season, to make sure that they have what they need to be able to play at that university if they choose to do so, whether it's Division 1, 2, or 3. It doesn't matter. NAIA, it's all the same to me at this point. So, Aaron, we have a portal that is really backed up, and I think athletes need to understand that in the recruiting process and understand what the right fit is and how committed are they to their plans, and do they have plan B and C in case things get changed? Because you know what? Until you sign that national letter of intent, Aaron, it is not good until it's signed. And when it's signed, it's a one-year contract, not a four-year contract. Now, with that said, Aaron, there are a lot of great universities out there doing a great job and doing it the right way. But I hear a lot of horror stories out there. I do. And, you know, we need to understand that. So athletes out there, you know, parents out there are listening to Aaron and myself. Please don't make rash decisions just based on something that looks good. You know, really concentrate on, you know, your son or daughter's welfare, and does that university like you? It comes down to that again, Aaron.
In terms of, you know, how these schools are using the portals, you know, again, with I would think with COVID and, you know, rosters,
right,
some rosters getting decimated and athletes having to leave school, and to try and get someone straight out of high school, that process takes too long. So aren't coaches using the transfer portal even more, you know, to win now, to get that extra, you know, couple of guys in, you know, that can help them? And what has that done in terms of maybe the long-term development of, hey, the traditional, you know, route of, hey, let me get this kid out of high school,
right,
you know, take a year or two, develop them, and then, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Are these universities backed up now and they're saying, well, hey, I don't have as many of these kids up to speed, so I gotta go to the, you know, is there more, I guess, is there more reliance now on the JC athlete or on the bounce back? Because now you can maybe find a more seasoned guy than a high school freshman. And maybe is that a trend that's going to continue? Because now if you've got a portal that is full of talent, you know, and you want to win now, your investment on a junior college guy isn't as much as it is on a college freshman. And you can get, you know, again, it's like a free agent. You can get that instant payoff from that guy and he moves on and you just go back to the portal, you know?
Well, look at this situation, Aaron. Say like you were a senior a year ago, 2 years ago, and you graduated. You didn't play, okay? But you graduated, but you didn't play and you had another year of eligibility. You want to go and get in the master's program.
Yeah.
And maybe you transfer to this school on the West Coast that has the master's program. You were in the East Coast, you went to West Coast, MS program, and you got another year of eligibility.
Yeah.
That you, now, you're in the portal. Why wouldn't that coach go get that four-year starter
that
is graduated and you got a master's program at your, and it's on campus and has another year of eligibility?
Right.
And you're looking for a third baseman and you can't find one, but you got one in this portal and you grab and you say, okay, I got this guy. What does that do with those younger recruits? Now that young recruit, I got to win now. Look, these are people's livelihoods. They're trying to win games, right?
Yeah.
So they grab that player and they say, good, here you are. You're on campus now. And that freshman is now on campus and he's not going to play for you. And he goes, you're going to get redshirted. So he gets redshirted and then he gets hurt. Now so 2 years, redshirted, got hurt.
Yeah.
Now he's 3 years on that campus, hasn't played any, but he's got 2 years of academics, but he's got 4 years to go baseball. And you got this backlog of athletes like that at these places in this portal. And the teams are getting older, okay? They're getting older. But here's the other side of the story. Eventually, those older players are going to leave.
Right.
Where are you at now? Can you keep on going in a portal and grabbing all these players? Will you do that? Or will you develop and get some freshmen back in here to retool the process you're going? Because that's the most interesting subject I see right now is that, are you going to stay old? Are you going to gradually bring in these freshmen and keep building on to what you're trying to do there? Because remember, when you go into a portal and you grab players or you get some other players that don't know your culture and you're trying to mesh them in, does it work or does it not work? That's the question.
that's why I asked that, because I don't know where coaches are leaning towards, and it's interesting to it'd be interesting to find out what are these coaches kind of sticking to the traditional process, or they're saying, hey, you know what, this might be a this might be a way to win. And as long as there's an abundance of talent or a backlog of talent, then maybe that becomes the whole the new
recruiting process.
It's just kind of like they talk about, in the NFL, hey, there's some teams who build a lot more through free agency than they do through the draft.
Right. Well, I think you're seeing that in college baseball, possibly. I do, because what if you're, been a losing program, then all of a sudden, you're not getting anywhere, and you're saying, what if I went and got six more new players in here that I know could fulfill the need we have here right now?
Yeah.
And I've got them for 2 years or a year, and I can develop some other younger guys. There's a new way of recruiting. There is a new way of winning games immediately. I call it, immediate gratification of winning games for coaches.
Yeah.
That's something I think is interesting.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
So, Aaron, this is an interesting subject, and I think it's kind of like wait and see what's going to happen in this next baseball year, though, So, if you got anything, you got any other comments about it, man, it's an interesting subject, and I think we can talk about it and keep talking about it. But you know how we are here at Eric Johnson, Eric Big Pig Podcast. We have to wrap things up eventually.
Yeah, no, I don't really have anything to add. It's just it's something that athletes should be thinking about, and unfortunately, I don't have an answer. I'd love to have one, but I don't. But you've got to figure out, at least this is what's happening, and put it into your calculations in your recruitment process. So if the right thing doesn't happen, you know how to make the adjustment and pivot.
Well, group, hey, thanks for listening in today. This is Eric Johnson.
And this is Aaron Thigpen, the sports. talk to you guys later. Be sure to check out our podcast if you'd like to view it on YouTube. You can check it out on our YouTube channel now, The Brand and the Source. And stay tuned, guys. We'll see you.
Yep.